one is a special request to all the little boys and girls in the world. Do it!
Kicking off this week's broadcast with the sound of Lone Ranger, Badder Than Them. You're locked into Radio Resistance, the rude boys of the radio. And keeping it rude, next up we've got the Kildren. Kill tourists come before they kill you.
We export growing quantities of stuff of all kinds. To Europe we export, I'm proud to say, we export cake, particularly dense and glutinous kind of chocolate cake. We export from Walthamstow to France. They love our cake in France.
Yeah.
the Keldron there and Kel Torris come. Now, it was no surprise when, last week, Boris Johnson won the vote. Remember, that's the vote of Tory party members to become the Tory leader and the UK Prime Minister. And it was equally no surprise that
Tory tough Boris Johnson has made clear that his government will be nasty, racist, and right-wing. The Prime Minister stuffed his cabinet with vicious Tories, who have track records of attacking ordinary people.
Having sacked 11 ministers from May's old cabinet, while 6 others resigned, Boris Johnson has now chosen a cabinet stuffed with more horrible right-wingers, such as Dominic Raab is the new Foreign Secretary, an arch-sexist who hates feminists and complains of so-called discrimination against men. Get real. Andrea Leadsom, the business secretary, who was a homophobe, who has backed restrictions on same-sex education, who wants to bring back hunting with dogs, including fox hunting, and a big supporter of dirty fracking. Michael Gove, the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. He's an Islamophobe, who also wants to cut taxes and restrictions on business. Jacob Rees-Mogg, the leader of the Commons, he's an anti-abortionist who supports tax havens, especially the one he keeps his fortune in. Esther McVeigh's the housing minister. She thinks it's a good thing that people have to rely on food banks. I guess that's so that they've got more money to spend on the exorbitant rents charged by your private landlords. And she's a supporter of the right of homophobic parents to decide whether or not children learn about LGBT plus relationships. Sajid Javid is the Chancellor. He's a multi-millionaire, former banker, who's keen on scapegoating refugees and has consistently voted for harsher immigration rules and backs the racist cops' use of stop and search. Priti Patel is the Home Secretary. She was forced to resign as International Development Secretary back in 2017 after she'd held 14 unauthorised meetings with Israeli politicians, and she's worked as a spin doctor for tobacco industry. Mark Spencer's the cheap whip. He said that a dying benefit claimant who hadn't eaten for 5 days and who was sanctioned after being 4 minutes late for a job centre appointment should learn the discipline of timekeeping. Delightful. As for Johnson himself, well, in addition to his well-documented racism, letterboxers and pickaninnies indeed, his homophobia and his climate change denial, he's a friend of the rich who wants to cut their taxes and make workers and the poor pay the price. Small wonder he was praised by the US racist, misogynist President Donald Stinky Trump after his victory. And, like Trump, Johnson poses as anti-establishment, despite being a millionaire, eaten, educated posh git. Which is why thousands of people have protested against him across the UK, including over 5,000 in London last Wednesday, and has been booed in Scotland and Wales in the last week or so. Now, above all, Johnson is in a very, very weak position, especially following Thursday's by-election defeat for Tories in Wales. His government now has a majority of just one, even with the DUP supporting him, and he's now leading a deeply divided Tory party. I mean, even members of his own Tory party are plotting against him, notably over Brexit, with senior Tories discussing with other parties how to block a no-deal Brexit. But, as pointed out by Socialist Worker, clever manoeuvres by politicians, especially Tory politicians, offer nothing of any real interest to workers. So it's good that Corbyn has called for a general election, but in order to make this happen sooner rather than later, we need to look to the protests on the streets that started within hours of Johnson becoming Prime Minister, and we need to build every protest and every strike against austerity, racism, climate destruction, or any attack on workers. At the end of the day,
we need real resistance on the streets and in workplaces to topple this Tory toff.
As for his Tory government's idea of direct rule for Northern Ireland, well, in light of referendum results in recent years south of the border on abortion and gay marriage, I think it is time for Northern Ireland to be ruled directly from Dublin, or in the words of Paul McCartney and Wings, give Ireland back to the Irish.
Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Make Ireland Irish today. Great Britain, you are tremendous.
This is Radio Resistance News, brought to you courtesy of Socialist Work newspaper. Tory toff Boris Johnson has made clear that his government will be nasty, racist and right-wing. The Prime Minister stuffed his cabinet with vicious Tories who have track records of attacking ordinary people. We need real resistance on the streets and workplaces to topple this Tory top. A week of extreme weather events in Britain has given a terrifying insight into how ill-prepared Britain is for dramatic climate catastrophe. People sweltered under a heatwave last Thursday as temperatures soared to over 38 degrees across Britain. Just days later, flooding followed 2 weeks' worth of rain that fell in 24 hours. Mass protests and riots rocked Hong Kong for 3 days from Friday of last week. Demonstrators defied bans on protests to gather in several areas and faced down attacks from the cops. China has called for harsher measures against demonstrators. Anti-racists are demanding an immediate stop to the mass eviction threat facing up to 300 asylum seekers in Glasgow. Serco, which runs asylum seeker housing for the Home Office, made an Iranian and an Iraqi homeless last week. Also in this week's Socialist Worker, the new Tory Home Secretary Priti Patel is set to escalate the Tories' attacks with harsher border policies and attacks on migrants. Protesters in Puerto Rico stayed on the streets after the resignation of disgraced Governor Ricardo Rossello. The US Democrats are backing Trump's budget that hands billions of dollars to the military and shafts ordinary people. A feature on how new green plans from the Tories won't tackle airline pollution. A historical feature on the Warsaw Uprising in 1944. The Anthropocene explained, and a review of the coming film Blinded by the Light. You can read Socialist Worker online at www.socialistworker.co.uk. That's www.socialistworker.co.uk. I can buy your copy of Socialist Worker in Chesterfield Town Centre each Saturday from 11 a.m. through till 12:30 p.m. I can pick up your copy from the Chesterfield Socialist Worker Forums held each Thursday evening downstairs in Chesterfield Library from 7 p.m. Enter by the Cafe Browser entrance on Beatwell Street, down the steps from the main entrance. I can get Socialist Worker delivered to your door. For more info, email swchesterfield@gmail.com. That's swchesterfield@gmail.com. Or phone or text 07919 486 101. That's 07919 486 101.
Socialist Worker is your paper.
Buy it, read it,
sell it.
We are right now in the beginning of a climate and ecological crisis, and we need to call it what it is, an emergency. We must acknowledge that we do not have the situation under control and that we don't have all the solutions yet, unless those solutions mean that we simply stop doing certain things. We must admit that we are losing this battle. We have to acknowledge that the older generations have failed. All political movements in their present form have failed. But Homo sapiens have not yet failed. Yes, we are failing, but there is still time to turn everything around. We can still fix this. we still have everything in our own hands. But unless we recognize the overall failures of our current systems, we most probably don't stand a chance. We are facing a disaster of unspoken sufferings for enormous amounts of people. And now is not the time for speaking politely or focusing on what we can or cannot say. Now is the time to speak clearly. Solving the climate crisis is the greatest and most complex challenge that Homo sapiens have ever faced. The main solution, however, is so simple that even a small child can understand it. We have to stop our emissions of greenhouse gases. And either we do that or we don't. You say that nothing in life is black or white, but that is a lie, a very dangerous lie. Either we prevent a 1.5 degree of warming, or we don't. Either we avoid setting off that irreversible chain reaction beyond human control, or we don't. Either we choose to go on as our civilization, or we don't. That is as black or white as it gets. Because there are no grey areas when it comes to survival. Now we all have a choice. We can create transformational action that will safeguard the living conditions for future generations. Or we can continue with our business as usual and fail. That is up to you and me. And yes, we need a system change rather than individual change. But you cannot have one without the other. If you look through history, all the big changes in society have been started by people at the grassroots level. People like you and me. So I ask you to please wake up and make the changes required possible. To do your best is no longer good enough. We must all do the seemingly impossible. Today, we use about 100 million barrels of oil every single day. There are no politics to change that. There are no rules to keep that oil in the ground. So we can no longer save the world by playing by the rules. Because the rules have to be changed. Everything needs to change. And it has to start today. So everyone out there, it is now time for civil disobedience. It is time to rebel.
The 1975 there, featuring Greta Thunberg. 1975. Now, while Johnson et al. Are spending billions of pounds on the possibility of a no-deal Brexit, a bigger problem, a much bigger problem, is the actuality of an unmitigated climate chaos. And climate change is no longer a future nightmare. We've already sleepwalked into it, as seen by the recent heatwave, which set a new record of over 38 degrees in the UK and of over 40 degrees in France, Belgium and Germany. And here in the UK, it was so bad that trains were cancelled as train tracks buckled in the heat. And this was followed by extreme rainfall. I mean, here in Derbyshire, there's the Whaley Bridge in the Peak District, which has been evacuated as a dam there threatens to collapse. There's been bridges washed away in Yorkshire. We've seen the cancellation of the Rockhard Mountain Bike Festival, which, Gabrielle at work, I know you were going to go to that, it's a bummer. And the biggest bummer of all is that elsewhere in the world, especially in the global south, it's going to be even worse as heat waves, floods, droughts, violent storms hit areas with often very little infrastructure to mitigate the killer effects of such disasters. Yet, capitalism continues to ride roughshod over the planet we all have to live on, aided and abetted by the Tory government, who gave the go-ahead for another runway at Heathrow, adding to flights which pump massive amounts of carbon dioxide into atmosphere, and giving permission to the dirty, dirty frackers to drill, for example, INEOS locally at Hart Hill and Marsh Lane, despite opposition not just from local people, but from local councils, Tory as well as Labour. While at Preston New Road, near Blackpool in Lancashire, Quadrilla are planning to drill a second well in autumn, despite their fracking of the last well causing repeated earthquakes, let alone the fact that the burning of fracked gas and the methane leakage from fracking wells is contributing yet further to global warming. Now, last Tuesday, Corbyn made a welcome visit to the Preston New Road Protectors Camp, that's the anti-fracking camp there, where he once again called for an end to fracking and promised a ban on fracking when Labour are elected. But we can't wait that long, even if the general election does happen to be as early as autumn. We still can't wait that long. I mean, we have at best 11 years, maybe as little as 18 months, to go carbon neutral, to keep Earth habitable to humans, let alone to wildlife. And with Quadrilla planning to frack their second well in autumn, and with Marsh Lane, Hart Hill and Woodsetts all under the sword of Damocles of INEOS's plans to frack locally, it's imperative that we fight them ourselves, that we join that fight ourselves. It's also imperative that we fight for real action to be taken by government and business to stop adding to the climate chaos. To get involved, to find out what you can do, come to the Extinction Rebellion Chesterfield meeting on Tuesday 20th of August, at 7 p.m. at the Monkey Park Cafe in Chester Street. And then Extinction Rebellion are planning the Northern Rebellion in Manchester from Friday 30th of August through till Monday 2nd of September. There will be talks, training and workshops, direct actions big and small, plus music, art, food and regeneration. So come along, show your support, join the mass of people blocking the streets to say enough is enough. Bring a tent if possible, then you can stay overnight at the occupation. And then, on Friday 20th of September, millions of people are going to be walking out worldwide to demand that governments act urgently on climate change and that bosses stop polluting our planet. On the first school student strike of the new school year, the kids themselves have issued a challenge to workers to walk out of their workplaces and take to the streets alongside them on the day. Like I say, we must, if we give a shit about the planet, join the kids, but we must also respect the kids, give thanks to the kids for pointing out something that a lot of us wouldn't have had a clue about if it wasn't for the kids taking action, and some adults sadly still don't give a shit about and get uppity when you try to bring it up with them. But anyway, in Chesterfield there'll be a rally from midday outside Chesterfield Town Hall, so be there. And on that note, back to the music with Sing Out Saints, SOS from the kids.
This is an SOS from the kids. All the grown-ups take note of this.
We're finding our voice, calling you out.
You can't leave the world in fire and drought.
This is an SOS from the kids. Please change the story, rewrite the plot.
This is Pick of the Strikes. A round of the strikes locally, nationally and internationally. Health visitors in Lincolnshire were set to walk out for 2 days from Thursday of this week. The Unite Union members were transferred from the NHS to the local county council in October 2017 and their pay has been frozen since the move, costing some health visitors up to £2,000 a year, even though both NHS and local government workers received small pay increases during this time. Unison Union members at three hospital trusts in the northwest of England plan to walk out on Wednesday of next week. The workers, who are outsourced to Compass, are demanding NHS Agenda for Change pay and terms and conditions. The majority of the cleaners, porters, security guards and other support staff are on the minimum wage of just £8.21 an hour, but they work alongside other workers directly employed by the NHS who are on £9.03 an hour. The action will hit St Helens and Knowsley teaching hospitals, Blackpool teaching hospitals and Liverpool Chest and Heart hospitals. Hundreds of health workers in Bradford, West Yorkshire, began a 2-week strike against privatisation on Thursday. The Unison Union members at the Bradford Royal Infirmary are fighting bosses' plans to outsource cleaners, porters and other support staff. If the plans go ahead, they will be outsourced to Bradford Healthcare Facilities Management Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary, on 1st of October, a stepping stone to full-blown privatisation. Postal workers at a Royal Mail delivery office in Plymouth returned to work victorious after a 3-day unofficial strike last week. Members of the CWU union at the West Park delivery office walked out without an official ballot last Wednesday, alleging bullying and harassment by a manager. They only went back to work on Saturday after 3 days of action forced bosses to the table and won an agreement. workers at Royal Mail Delivery Offices in Ivybridge in Devon and Bude in Cornwall have also taken action over bullying and harassment in recent weeks. Around 50 council workers in Newham, East London, are set to start a programme of strikes. The housing maintenance workers voted unanimously to fight over a myriad of issues, including a new pay structure that could mean pay cuts of up to 20%. The Unite Union members are also angry about poor communication about pay deductions and the bullying culture. The carpenters, electricians and plumbers were set to walk out on 2nd, 5th, 23rd and 27th of August. A strike on East Midland Train saw workers walk out for pay and workplace justice last Saturday. The RMT union members were rock solid, united and determined against attacks from rail franchise operator Stagecoach. Workers planned a further strike this Saturday. Cleaners and caterers on indefinite strike at a central London government office are ploughing ahead with an indefinite strike over low pay and outsourcing. The members of the PCS union at the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy entered their third week of their strike on Monday of this week. The cleaners and caterers were also joined by porters, security and postroom staff for 5 days last week. They're demanding that outsourcers ISS and Aramark pay them the London living wage of £10.55 an hour and give them improved holiday and sick pay. Ultimately, they want to be brought back in-house. And I'm going to end with a victory. The GMB union has suspended walkouts by refuse workers in Brighton and Hove. Workers there had planned to strike on Monday of this week and Friday of next week, but the walkouts were suspended following an agreement by the council to revoke the continued unfair exclusion of a union rep from his workplace.
Workers at work, unite! You have nothing to live for your change.
The signs in the city, I saw the signs on the road, I saw it written in the neon, I saw it hidden in the cold, for it is written, for it is written.
Thank you.
Hi Tashpre there, from Glasgow with Free Love. Now, staying in Glasgow and going back to Marxism 2019 Festival in London back at the beginning of July, at the opening rally, what some of the speakers there were from the Glasgow strikes for equal pay for women.
And I would love to introduce our next speaker, Linda Marie O'Howe, a Unison member who struck the thousands of women in Glasgow for equal pay. Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me tonight to yet again talk about the equal pay campaign strike in Glasgow last year. For 12 years, the women, and it was mainly women doing the women work, the cleaning, the catering, the education support staff, all the roles that women tend to do to fit around family life and all the things that we do. For 12 years, we were paid unfairly, and everyone in Glasgow City Council knew this. They introduced a pay scheme where they protected the male role jobs, and the women's jobs never got to rise above what was. It was unjust. So we. For 12 years, the council took us out to tribunal after tribunal. They kept trying to dispute the fact that it was wrong. It was just wrong. And every day, the women and men went to work, did the jobs with a crew, with a smile on their face, but in the background, there was all the legalities around. Were we getting unfairly paid? Yes, we were. So as a trade union, Unison in Glasgow, GMB, and we've also got Action for Equality who are supporting all the claimants in Glasgow, which were 14,000 people, were 14,000 claims against the council. The council were very, very worried. But what worried them more was that all the talks that they were having were not getting us anywhere. So across the city, all the branches, all the members, we started to get a bit busy around what can we do. So last year we took a consultative ballot in our branch, and the figures for the people who are the lowest paid doing the catering and cleaning jobs, home care and education support, the numbers were resounding, the ton of votes were resounding. So the council came back and thought, God, they're going to go on strike, they've got us over a barrage. So they came back to us within 24 hours of our consultative ballot news. The returns and we'll have more effective talks. Now, I don't know what they've been talking about for all this time, but in our branch, what we decided was, well, they're talking, we're going to get busy. So we started to order up some t-shirts and make placards and over summer, and there was just this air of discontent and people thinking, we truly believed in solidarity with each other. We quadrupled our membership in the quarter, that was an amazing organisation. Members of trade union and people who wanted to just come along as well. So, you know, it was like a carnival atmosphere across Glasgow. And the council was sitting going, we had loads of demonstrations outside the city chambers, and each time people saw it in the paper or on Twitter or whatever it was going across, it started to build and grow and the momentum was there. And do you know what? The belief was there that the lowest paid people were strike ready. And the council, I think, thought, they're not going to do this. So the morning of Tuesday, 23rd of October, 8,000 women, predominantly women, shut the city down. It was fantastic. It was 1 week after the kids had the open for school week. So the kids were all loving it. They were out the picket lines with us. Their t-shirts, homemade striped t-shirts, on them. We took the plastics made out of cereal boxes. So there was this atmosphere where we believed in ourselves. We had got together. We came really, really strong. Shut down our city. And do you know what? They sat up and took notice in the council. So not to labour the point too much, but the solidarity has paid off, and this was never about paid. It was always to deliver with dignity and respect around the members and the claimants. And happy to say that at 5:30 this morning, my best friend, my trade union sister, texted me to say, my money's in the bank. Send for the 8,000 angry Glaswegian women.
And also at Marxism during the dinner times, there was music in the culture tent, live music, and one of those playing was Paul Brown, who sung this song about Glaswegians fighting against austerity historically, Mrs. Barber's Army.
I was late to do an Alistair Hewlett song. For those that do and don't know, Alistair Hewlett was a comrade from Scotland who died a few years back. Spent most of his time in Australia, but came back to Scotland and wrote some great songs. And this song is about Mrs. Barber, who led Glasgow Rentslights in 1915. And there's a lovely picture, except I'm in it on Facebook, but just a few weeks ago with my daughter and myself, went to the statue in Glasgow and joined Mrs. Barber's army, because there's not many statues of women, so this is a statue I like. And I know some of the Scottish comrades will know the chorus, and the rest you might pick some of it up. In the tenements of Glasgow in the year 1915 was one lang bloody struggle just to keep ourselves alive. We're couldn't do it, we're pennies just to buy our scraps of food, and the landlords put the rent up just because they could. Our factories were humming, there was overtime galore, but wages they were driven down to subsidise the war. Out came Mrs. Barber, fair wee but single land. She says, I'll have to rouse the lassies if I canny rouse the men, cos I'm free govern and you're free partick. I'm a shin, here's fae bridge aweer, and yon's fae Kinnan Park. There's some that's prods, there's some that's Catholic, but we're Mrs. Barber's army and we're here to do the work. Mrs. Barber made a poster saying, oh no, pay higher rent. And she chapped on every door in every govern tenement. She put this in the windy when you hear me bang the drum. We'll go out and chase the factor all the way to kingdom come. When the poor wee soul come round, he was battered black and blue. We are regimented pennies that knew just what to do. Mrs. Barber organised a gathering of the clans, and they rushed out to the steamy iron with pots and frying pans, saying, I'm free govern and you're free partick. I'm a shin, here's free bridge aweer, and yon's fae Kinnan Park. There's some that's prods, there's some that's Catholic, but we're Mrs. Barber's army and we're here to do the work. Mrs. Barber's army spread through Glasgow like the plague. The maesters got the message was nae vague. Well, our men folk fight the Kaiser, we'll stay here and fight the war against the greedy bastards that keep grinding down the poor. If you want to end conscription, stand and smash the profiteers. Bring the helmet, bloody sandpit crash and run about their ears. We'll start, said Mrs. Barber, while the men we core in are marching up to see their heart's blood run like water do the drain, saying I'm free govern and you're free partick. I'm a shin, here's fae bridge aweer, and yon's fae Kinnan Park. There's some that's prods, there's some that's Catholic, but we're Mrs. Barber's army and we're here to do the work. Well, it didn't take the government too long to realise. If you clamp down on the leaders, the rest will compromise. They arrested Mrs. Barber and they clapped her in the jail. But they made enough a big mistake, they let her out on bail. She brought the men out of the factories, the Clyde and on the cart. They marched up to the court who said, we'll tear this place apart. Mrs. Barber's army brought the maesters to their knees. We are regiment and pennies backed by one in dungarees, and I'm free govern and you're free partick. Irish and here's fae bridge aweer, and yon's fae Kinnan Park. There's some that's prods, there's some that's Catholic, but we're Mrs. Barber's army and we're here to do the work. I'm on Mrs. Barber's army and we're here to do the work. We're Mary Barber's army and we're going to do the work.
It's time for direct action. A roundup of protests and demonstrations, locally, nationally and internationally, recent and coming.
Mm-hmm.
Over 5,000 people, most of them under the age of 30, raced through central London on Wednesday to show their rejection of new Tory Prime Minister Boris Johnson. People assembled at Russell Square and then moved off to march to Downing Street. Over 1,000 people joined a rally called by the Labour Party outside Parliament on Thursday evening, demanding a general election. The rally came after Boris Johnson became Tory Prime Minister, then filled his cabinet with figures from the very right of the party. It was the third central London rally against Johnson in a week. And Boris Johnson was hounded by protesting Harland and Wolff shipyard workers during his visit to Northern Ireland on Wednesday. Workers protested outside the Northern Ireland's Tormont Parliament building. The Harland and Wolff workers were joined by protesters demanding Irish language recognition rights in a bilingual protest. Other protesters at Stormont included people representing those killed in the Loyalist paramilitary bombing of McGurk Spa in Belfast in 1971, and those killed by the British Army in Ballymurphy the same year. A 30-mile big ride for Palestine, involving up to 200 cyclists, took place in London last Saturday. The big ride has been an annual event for the past 5 years, combining a show of solidarity with raising funds for Palestinian charities. As the riders passed through London's High Street, they were heartened by the positive response they met everywhere, which demonstrates that the media campaign against criticism of Israel has not dampened support for the Palestinian cause. On to the international scene. Protesters in Puerto Rico have stayed on the streets after the resignation of disgraced Governor Ricardo Rosello last week. Rosello announced that he would stand down next Thursday after 15 days of protests, the biggest in the history of the US-controlled Caribbean island. The protests followed the leak of nearly 900 pages of sexist, homophobic and potentially corrupt texts between Rosello and several top officials. But anger at a decade of austerity has continued to drive forward the movement after its demand that Rosello step down was met. For example, 2 years after Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico, infrastructure has not been rebuilt properly. Hundreds of thousands took to the streets of the capital San Juan, and a one-day general strike saw even the smallest businesses shut down. Mass protests and riots rocked Hong Kong for 3 days from Friday of last week. More info in the first report of part two of this week's broadcast. Russian police arrested thousands of protesters in the capital Moscow on Saturday of last week. Cops broke up the 6,000 strong demonstration as part of a clampdown ahead of rigged city council elections in September. The local elections have become a focus for opposition to Russian President Vladimir Putin and the right-wing United Russia Party. Now on to ongoing protests. At Preston New Road near Blackpool in Lancashire, anti-fracking activists are continuing their fight against drilling company Quadrilla, who are planning to resume fracking in the region in autumn. The Frack Free Lancashire campaigning group reports that lorries carrying equipment have entered the Preston New Road site in preparation for drilling and attempted fracking. Now on to coming protests. A March for Scottish Independence, organised by All Under One Banner, will take place in Aberdeen on 17th of August. This is leading up to a major event in Edinburgh on 5th of October, which organisers hope will see 200,000 people on the streets. Extinction Rebellion are planning the Northern Rebellion in Manchester from Friday 30th of August through till Monday 2nd of September. There will be talks, training and workshops, direct actions big and small, plus music, art, food and regeneration. Millions of people are likely to walk out worldwide on 20th of September to demand that governments act urgently on climate change and that bosses stop polluting our planet. Student strikers have issued a challenge to workers to walk out of their workplaces and take to the streets alongside the students on the day. Last but not least, as part of the International Rebellion, Extinction Rebellion UK plan a nationwide rebellion in London from 7th of October through till 19th of October.
It is time for direct action. We must fight back.
Now taking you to the end of part one of this week's Radio Resistance, I'm going to go back to the Why Not Festival, which took place here in Derbyshire last weekend, where Stand Up To Racism had a highly successful stall. One of the bands playing there was Baked Beans on the Sunday evening. And they're up to take you out of part one with Robin Hood.
So if you've got nothing to do tomorrow, fuck him on the bank and begin the revolution. I went down to my local bank, dressed up Robin Hood, and everybody thought that I was up to no good. I'm stealing from the rich, I said I'm giving to the poor. I'm tired of all this bullshit, I can't take it anymore. I screamed that out at the top of my voice and said I'd have to join the queue like everybody else. But if I wait my turn and if I work really hard, they could probably issue me a credit card. And with a little bit of interest, I could get a lot of cash. I could give it to the poor, share it with the homeless. They don't know that I'm an outlaw. They think that I'm a fool. It was the same old scam with the bad King John. I'm not here for a loan. I want to take what the people are rightfully owed. I want to take all of the riches and distribute them evenly. And as soon as she understood, the bank teller agreed with me. The righteous, I'm sick and tired of working for these banks. They treat me like I'm worthless. Let's go down to the vault. We can take all of the money, drag it to the street, see how many hungry people we can feed. We went down there and opened up a man we were gunning. It turns out that they didn't have any money in it. Money is now digital and there's no use for hard cash. The money in your bank doesn't even exist. We need another plan of attack. We need to find a way to take our humanity back. We can move out to the forest, stop paying our taxes. We can grow our own food and sow our own seed. We can live outside the law, hidden between the trees with a cup of the chickens to put it for the fire. Just a pair of shirts was right, keep it really simple. In my Robin Hood costume, I'm gonna look like a Donald, or at least an old man with a child's imagination. I know that the song isn't all quite true, but it's better than the bullshit I see on TV where the poor get screwed every single time. Work, motherfucker, work, tell you the fucking lie. So we work, we worry, we watch TV. It tells us to work and it tells us to worry. So maybe I'm not Robin Hood, but we need it more now than we ever have. We need to take what is rightfully ours, or at least we need a few more outlaws. And while you're being outlaws, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that Sherwood Forest is under attack at the moment. It's fucking close by to here. They're gonna frack in Sherwood Forest unless somebody tells them not to. I don't know why Kevin Costner hasn't fucking piped up and said his piece, or Brian Adams, you know.
No fucking way.
Little tweet from Brian Adams would go a long way, wouldn't it? Woo! Save Sherwood Forest. He was a number one for 9 weeks.
Resistance is futile.
Oh no, it ain't.
Resistance is futile.
Oh no, it ain't.
Resistance is futile.
Oh no, it ain't.
Radio Resistance Chesterfield.